Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Come hang with Irv. La Raza's here. Who wants to start drinking? Let's go. Let's go, Irv. It's the weekend. It's a holiday show. Rock the Mic has returned. It's time to find the newest Houston sports podcast. The winner of Rock the Mic receive a podcast hosted on our ESPN Houston YouTube channel. Whether you already have a podcast or always wanted to start one, now's your chance. You can enter by sending a 3 to 5 minute video giving your best Houston sports take to rockthemic975@gmail.com. The winner will be announced on August 23rd at Carbach Brewery. rockthemic975@gmail.com. Keith is on the line. Wants to get on, talk on the radio. What do you say, Keith?
Hey, guys, love a good holiday show. British opens on, but I do want to give some love to Shane Lowry. Lance said nobody's watching him. Shane Lowry has won this tournament 5 years ago. He's got a top four finish in every major, and he's leading the tournament right now. Shane Lowry is a very good golfer, and he has a great chance to win here.
Thank you, Keith. All right, now you got some golf breakdown right there. Shane Lowry is good. Shane Lowry is highly underrated. I didn't put him on my team. I wish I'd have talked to Keith before I made my team. But I went with all the chalk. I went with all the best golfers, and there's nobody on top of the leaderboard. Nobody. Of course, it's early. It's Friday morning. Well, it's Friday afternoon there. But we'll see what happens. Let's go. Lance, did you hear that? Did you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I feel like part of my soul is dying.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's understandable.
Yeah,
I like the British Open. It's whipping some people's ass over the last 2 days, but it's just John. You know, he forces his beliefs on everyone down our throats.
I thought this was America.
What you do in your own in the sanctity of your own home in your own bedroom, it's fine. I'm not there to judge that. But it's when you come after us
and try to
put Shane Lowry on us. Yeah. I don't care about I care about the good golfers.
Don't try to force Shane Lowry.
Shane Lowry is a really good golfer. Keith just told you how good he is.
Listen to Keith.
He finishes in the majors.
I like guys who won the British Open inside of the last 5 years.
And don't try to force Shane Lowry down Lance's
throat. And I call it British Open. I'm not doing the Open. You can't rebrand on me. You're still British Open. You're still Red River Shootout. Okay, you're still British Open. I'm not changing. It's still Twitter. We're not changing this.
But just for your information, he did win the Open Championship within the last 5 years. He won in 2019.
I like guys who won it from 2020 on. That's what I said.
Okay, just so you know. Okay.
Hey, I want to bring up. Let's get the Lane Kiffin sound, Austin. Let's pull that up. Let me know in my ear when you have it ready. We talked about it the other day.
Yeah.
I felt like there was going to be some drama at the SEC meeting. I said, who was going to say, is somebody going to say something about Jimbo? And then you said, oh, it's going to be Lane Kiffin that says something. Like, of course.
Of course.
With Nick gone, Nick might have said something to a media member. He might have done something. Kirby's pretty down the fairway. Lane Kiffin is obviously, now that Jimbo's gone, Lane Kiffin for sure, and was already the favorite to say something. Lane Kiffin always, like, he can't just leave well enough alone.
Well, here's
he's
the deal,
always
though.
Gotta have, but Lane also, people pick at Lane.
Well, and here's the deal, too, is that his target was Paul Finebaum, who's not afraid to go after coaches, hard. And he went after, just this week, he went after Lincoln Riley hard.
Yeah.
And back in the day, he went, and when he was at USC, he went after Lane Kiffin hard. And here is the exchange.
And these two are on the set together at SEC Media Days.
2 days ago it happened, right?
And Lane Kiffin.
This was 2 days ago?
It may have been 2 days ago. I just saw the video yesterday. And Lane Kiffin had the receipts. He had been waiting to have this conversation with Paul Feinbaum. It just happened to have happened on television where we could all see and hear it.
I'll steal your line, but I was going through a deep depression over this incorrect guilt that you tried to lay on me, which preceded that move. Had something to do with Southern California.
Oh, yeah. When you got me fired at USC. I got myself fired at USC, but you didn't
help. It's a better story if I got you fired.
You really did. Because it is a true story that the athletic director and the president were on that trip. We were playing that night, and you were on college game day, and you had to make your big splash, and they were watching it, because I know the other person in the room that was watching it with them, and you said, what a joke I was, and I'm the Miley Cyrus of college football coaching, and I should be fired, and they looked at each other, and later that night I was fired.
Yeah. By the way.
So, hey, look what happened. I would have never gotten to work for Coach Saban. All these other things wouldn't happen, so I appreciate you for helping getting me fired. Thank you.
I mean, look at what you're doing today. You're predicted to go to the playoffs. And look at Miley Cyrus. She's had a nice comeback.
So you're wrong on that. I mean, you're putting me down with that. So really, I don't really know what you're good at. Like, you predicted that Coach Saban was done. That didn't happen. You basically said Miley Cyrus stinks, and she's still going.
Yeah.
If you watch it, you may hear that and think it's just guys busting balls. When you watch it, I was very uncomfortable. I really had the feeling that Lane wasn't really joking.
Listen,
like he said it like he was joking, but I don't think he was really
joking. He's been waiting to get him to hit him.
Although Paul Feinbaum did bring it up.
He did it kind of fun. Yeah, he did it in an amusing way.
But when you watch it on TV, it feels
uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. But when I listen to it, it's not as uncomfortable.
Listen,
you got to kind of see it.
Listen. When Summy was the coach, even at A&M, I mean, he was pissed at me one time, and I was like, what are you talking about? He said, yeah, somebody told me what you said on the air. I said, what? I could not have backed Summy more when he was at A&M.
Right.
And if I had said something about, you know, their offense is really bogged down and it sucked.
But that's accurate.
It's accurate. And I was like, really? Yeah. Really, dude? Mm-hmm. Because your teams really haven't performed, and I've been, you know, backing your ass for but one little thing. Now, this ain't a little thing. He went after Lane Kiffin hard at USC, and he's going after Lincoln Riley hard. Lincoln Riley's going to have receipts on Paul Feinbaum.
Well, I mean, that's fine. That's why, I mean, I personally don't like to, buddy-buddy too much with coaches.
Yeah, it's hard.
Or GMs, like, I don't know, something made Daryl Morey pissed at me. I don't know what it was, but I mean, we got to talk about what's happening on the court, because, you know, I would text him something, he goes, oh, cool. Like, everything was just, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's really cool. Cool. Like, I could tell, oh, what is Mr. Sensitive about this stuff?
Yeah, right.
Because Daryl was another one who could get very, very sensitive.
Yeah.
So you still have to do your job, but Daryl could get very sensitive. And there have been some sensitive coaches, and there are other ones who are not.
What did Daryl say to me, Dell, that you had? Oh, your bias.
Showing.
Yeah. Oh, leaking. Your bias is really leaking through, John.
Yeah. Yeah.
Daryl he accused me of data dredging when I said Ryan Anderson wasn't a good shooter at home but was on the road. I mean, it was in the splits. But coaches can be. Yeah, some coaches can be in front office
the
people.
Thin skin they have.
And players. I mean, any of them. And I guess that maybe is like that with anybody that gets criticized. You know, if you have somebody that
you love criticism.
That you feel like is a friend of yours, but they're criticizing you, I could see where that might bother you. However, we still have a show. Like, media members have a show to do now. Now, I was also told, I remember Dennis Lindsay told me this one time when he was with the Rockets, and he wasn't at a high position. He said, because they used to listen to me and our show all the time at 610, and he said, you guys have a show to do. He said, as long as you don't take cheap shots, as long as you, you know what you're talking about, you study, even if your opinion is different than ours is, or you criticize, as long as it's not cheap shots, everyone will still have respect for you. They may not be happy with what you say, but they'll respect you. I think Lane probably thought that was crossed to say what he said, you know, comparing to Miley Cyrus or whatever. Lane probably looked at that as a cheap shot. You know, that's one where you go out of your way. And, you know, sometimes you do take cheap shots for comedy's sake, I guess. That happens. We've probably done the same thing. But I like to try to be, like, legitimately honest. When it was bad for the Texans and Nick Caserio, we said it. I mean, there's no way around it. But it's good right now, and Nick deserves a lot of praise. I mean, Nick deserves a ton of praise because it's going really, really well. I saw Nick and spoke for him for the first time at camp. I didn't know what his response would be, and not camp, Senior Bowl, and he was good. We talked. He was good. He knew who I was. And
I think he listens to 610, though. He doesn't hear what we're saying.
No, he may not. He may not, but you just never know because I know people over there who do listen. So you never know, and some organizations have people who – They used to collect all the papers and clippings and whatever, and they would get it. Like, Texans would get it every day. A lot of teams do that. Now they will listen to others. Some will listen. Like, Bill O'Brien would have people listen to different shows. And Bill O'Brien was – I was on good footing with him for a while, but then, you know, you want to talk about sensitive. Ooh, I heard a story about how he was going to try to get Nick Wright fired because he didn't like something he heard in the first week that he was here. Like – first week that he was in camp, he didn't like something he was said at 610, and he was going to go after him, call into the show, and have an argument with him. And I think the person convinced him, hey, this kind of would be exactly what he would want.
Yeah.
You might not want to.
Oh, yeah.
This would not be the way to start your tenure.
Well, what about when Sonny went on with
John Lopez?
John Lopez. He went after,
John Lopez. Yeah.
Yeah, that was uncomfortable. That was really – well
– what about when Tim Papert came after me on the air and said, how many – I asked him, hey, you guys have a philosophy of bringing guys up later, whatever. You know, is that a team philosophy or is that some – he goes, you know, how many minor league games have you watched, Lance? I'm like
– wow. He knew,
answer
though.
Answer the question, nerd.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go eat another tub of –
oh, see, now
cookie
we're going
to
look at you.
Go eat more cookie dough start doing better in the minor leagues.
Why does you have
– It's
you,
on for life between
why
us.
Why do you have to go to cookie dough?
It's off because that's my characterization of him. It's on for life
you
between
think
us.
He just eats it?
I asked him a legitimate question. He came after me. This is before – and now after that I had to do Drayton McClain talking about Tim Papura all the way eating nacho cheese.
Do you think Tim Papura is like – pushing the cookie dough into a bowl, or is he just eating it right from the wrap?
From the tub.
Oh, from the tub. Oh, you don't think he has the pillow or anything, and he unwraps it and
that.
Just bites it like a log?
Timmy. Oh, Timmy. You got it all over
like
your face.
Oh, like where you open the thing?
Like a Pillsbury thing, and he bites it from, as a log.
Yeah. No.
But you think he does it from the tub?
Yeah, but he eats it from a tub.
No, he takes the – well, in my mind it was, but now that Dell said that, he could take a cookie
like a burrito.
Like a cookie dough tub. I mean, the cookie dough hockey puck.
Yeah.
Like a biscuit puck. And. Oh yeah, actually, they're not even cut. Well, some
no,
of them
it's
cut.
It's a roll.
It's a roll.
Aren't some of them pre-cut
like Pillsbury is like
no,
a roll.
Yeah.
Do you think he just bites it like a burrito?
I'd rather go through a tub if you got a tub of cookie.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's probably more industrial size.
What?
Like you get at Costco,
industrial
like those white
size
buckets,
and it never makes it to the oven.
Like a white. No.
He just eats it raw.
He might make his.
How's it gonna make it to the oven?
He might do one of those skillet cookies where you put it in a skillet and then he put it in the. Puts all that dough in a skillet, then puts it in the oven, and then puts ice cream on top of it.
A bazooki? What's it called?
Bazooki.
A bazooki?
Yeah. Was it Chili's that does that?
BJ's.
BJ's, yeah.
That's 20 years ago, and he's still catching it from you.
Well, I mean,
talk about receipts.
Well, Michael Jordan.
Talk about somebody who's bitter.
Remember how Michael Jordan would remember stuff all the time?
Yeah.
That's the one thing that, to me, I ask him a legitimate question, and he was waiting to come after
me. Oh, my God.
And I don't
let
remember,
it go.
Was I ever.
Let it go. Okay.
No, not going to let it go. That guy sucked. I mean, honestly, he sucked at his job. Be good at your job.
Just said thank you for your service, Tim.
No,
thank you
what
for
service?
And go on your
Jason
way.
Jason Jennings?
And go down your way.
Thanks for your service.
Yeah. Thank you for your service.
He was not a fan.
He was a good servant for the Astros for all those years.
He did
Drayton's. Yeah, he took over for Jerry Hunsicker. Great job. You did terrific. With Jerry Hunsicker, we built up the minor league system, had a good team. With Tim Papura, it was an atrocity. Ed Wade, all of y'all sucked.
Wow.
And then Jeff Leno came in and fixed it, and then we had to whack Jeff Leno. And then I went to Glenn Davis yesterday. Glenn Davis came up for Soccer Matters, and I said, hey, Glenn, we discussed a kind of a wild idea. I just want to get your thoughts on this. So, you know, Jeff Leno is involved in soccer. He goes, yeah, he's got an FC team. He's an American, I guess, an MLS team. He's getting ready to take over, and he has whatever team in Spain that is now making it to the first. They got promoted to first division. And I said, yeah, wouldn't it be kind of wild, like, thinking outside the box to have, like, a Jeff Leno type guy come in and to U.S. soccer? Oh, that was the wrong thing to say.
Really?
Yes, because Glenn Davis is kind of anti-overdoing analytics because he thinks they already do that. And he's told us this before. He thinks everything is – he said Berhalter is nothing but analytics, and that his idea is if you do exactly what our data tells you to do, we can't lose. And he thinks everything is driven by numbers nerds right now, that it was
– we got to go.
That
bro.
Was too big a deal.
We got a break. Do you remember that thing we call breaks?
Was that supposed
it's
to be 8:20?
Yeah, it was supposed to be 8:12.
Oh, cool.
We got to break and talk about the Golden Nugget right down the street. It's only about – it's less than 2.5 hours away. Golden Nugget Lake Charles is where you go get your drink on, okay, the blue martini, or at the pool. Listen, it's still summer, and that pool is rocking. It is such a fun pool. It's got just a party atmosphere to it, and there's a lot of things to see. It's awesome. It's awesome. You want to play poker? They got the poker room. You want a casino? You got the casino. You want restaurants? They've got 11 different restaurants there. You want the DraftKings Sportsbook, great place to go and get your fantasy draft on. You can go bring all your guys there, and you all have a great maybe 1-2 days there and do your fantasy draft, and they'll put it up on the big screen, and you guys can have your draft there. It's a great idea. Make your reservation at the DraftKings Sportsbook and get on over there and have some fun. I mean, you don't have to go all the way to Las Vegas. You've got Vegas-style casino and sportsbook right here, just 2.5 hours down the road. GoldenNuggetLC.com. GoldenNuggetLC.com. I'm telling you, it's going to be so much cheaper than going flying all the way to Vegas, and you've got all the amenities that you could possibly want right here, just 2 hours down the road in Lake Charles. GoldenNuggetLC.com. Welcome back here on the ESPN Under 75 and 92.5. I want to play some D'Amico, Austin, if you've got it ready. The expectations or the rookie one, Austin? Which one do you have? Do you have both of them? By any? You got both? Okay, let's play the rookie one. This is an interesting. We talked a little bit about it earlier in the show, is that you don't need rookies. You're going to need Lassiter. There's a chance Cade Stover is going to get on the field. There's a chance Caden Bullock might get on the field at safety. But you don't have to have them like you had to last year. I mean, you are so solid in and especially you're not spending nearly as much money as other teams are on offense. Warren Sharp put out there how much every team is spending on, and I'll get that. But because of your rookie contracts that you're still in key positions,
mm-hmm.
with Nico, with CJ, with Kenyon, we'll see. And Jarrett Patterson, who's probably going to play a role this year, and Juice Scruggs, he's going to play, and Tank Dell. Mm. These are major contributors that you're on rookie deals with. That's kind of a big deal right now.
It's huge because it allows you to do trade deadline deals if you want. Allows you free agent, which probably isn't going to be the case, but free agency. But you know the thing is, you have some upside. You still have some talent upgrades potentially at left guard to make. You have a talent upgrade potentially at running back to make at some point. You have a talent upgrade at safety and maybe another corner position. But it's not really – you're not really in bad shape talent-wise at all. So you're on these rookie deals, but you don't have to just do crazy stuff.
So the Texans are right in the middle of the pack as far as money spent offensively. The Browns spend the most money offensively, $191 million.
Well, Deshaun is a huge.
Deshaun will kill you.
Nick Chubb.
The Rams are at $190.
Amari Cooper.
The Chiefs are at $170. The Cowboys, $158. The Texans are 14th at $136.
Rookie contract. All the guys you're going to have are going to have quarterback contracts.
The cheapest offensively is the Packers, only $78 million.
I don't know if we talked about this when you were on or not, but do you agree with the concept of a quarterback cap? Just having one.
Yes, we did. I brought it up.
One cap for quarterback. It's just kind of an offset.
That's right.
Okay.
He doesn't count against your cap.
This one doesn't count against your cap.
Yep. I I wholeheartedly
max,
agree
super
with
max.
That. Because it's getting so crazy out of control. Of course, so are wide receivers and left tackles and defensive ends. They're getting out of control as well. But, yeah, I do absolutely. But a quarterback taking up 25, like Joe Burrow's taking up 25% of their cap. That's way too much for one guy.
It's insane.
So DeMeco was asked about the rookies and how they're going to contribute. And here is what he had to say about the rookies.
I tell them, we're not waiting on you. It's time to go. Like, we drafted everyone for a reason. Like, you're here for a reason. So show up and let's see why you are here. It's no wait and see 2 years down the line. It's like, what are you doing for us right now? We want our rookies to know and understand the urgency of them to contribute right now. It's not a later thing. It's a right now thing, and they understand that message.
So look at the difference this year and last year. Last year is, well, you know, we got rookies, we're playing. They were coming off the three of the worst seasons in NFL history. They had a rookie quarterback, rookie defensive end. You're giving up the house to get those two guys in here, second and third picks overall. And it was like, you know what? We've got to have, you know, growing pains. We're going to have a. Now they win the division. They surprise everybody. Hey, we're win now. Hey, rookie, you can't keep up? Beat it. You ain't going to be part of this thing, okay? We ain't worried about 2-3 years down the road. It's a win now as opposed to the difference between this offseason. Of course, the hype, of course, making the playoffs and winning a playoff game was huge, and it took a giant step. But this is like this attitude is something we haven't really seen out of the Texans before, where we feel like we're a championship team. They're one of the better teams in the NFL, and they know it.
Mm-hmm.
And we ain't pussyfooting around. Mm-hmm. We're going to win, and rookies, you better keep up, or you ain't going to be here. I love that.
Yeah.
It's a totally different atmosphere.
Totally different. This is the most excited I've been headed into a season since, you know, honestly, since 12.
12.
Because 11 was like, you had a lockout.
And then look at the disaster that 13 was.
And 11 was their best team. And 11 was so much fun because it was on the heels of a 2010 where they, every way they could lose, they found the Hail Mary with Grover, Grover, not Cleveland.
No, Glover.
Glover.
Yeah, he went to the Lions. Yeah, whatever.
Glover Quinn.
Glover Quinn.
Remember, he knocked the ball. Like, everything they could do, it was negative. And that's kind of like what we talked about. Last year, a lot of things went their
way. The Jaguar.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, that one, yeah.
Glover Quinn hit the ball and right into somebody's hands.
Yeah,
they lost. And then the next year, and so then we had a lockout it was a lockout. And so we didn't have any football. We were like, oh, this sucks. And then they finally get into camp, and they end up with, you know, Danielle Manning and Jonathan Joseph ended up being huge acquisitions. Wade Phillips was a new defense coordinator for Frank Bush. Wade Phillips came in and was a new defense coordinator. He was tremendous. Great season. Arian Foster. Holy crap, who is this kid, Arian Foster? It was awesome. The offensive line came together. It was a great year. This year, but the excitement headed into that year wasn't as great as this year.
This year
because it's not the same Texans. It's not the same branding. Doesn't feel the same with the ownership group. Doesn't feel the same in the front office. Doesn't feel the same with the coaching staff.
How many owners threw up DH then?
Not many.
No.
I haven't seen Jim Crane do it.
No.
To be fair.
Does he love the city?
I've never seen Tillman. Tillman may have at some point.
Tillman?
I
don't think he throws up. Well, the Cougs. He throws up the Cougs.
He throws up the Coug. Yeah, the Coug paw, but
yeah, right.
Not the H.
It's got an H in it, though, but then you put the middle finger in it, too.
Is DeMeco.
Is that saying middle finger to the H? No, I don't think so.
What about to the Longhorns?
Oh, yeah. Maybe that is actually what it is saying.
Mm.
Yeah, that is because you do this.
Actually, it's just a U and an H, but still,
no,
whatever
the,
you want
to
do.
I was told it's the H, and it's then the middle finger to it. And no, it's the Longhorns.
Yeah.
And then it's the middle finger.
You were just told that just now?
No, I was told that a couple of years ago.
So do you – is DeMeco your – who's your favorite coach in the history of Houston? Now, I go back. This is where I'm from. So Rudy is – there's a special place for Rudy, but I got to tell you, DeMeco's on that path. Now, A.J. Hinch is like
Yeah, but
I loved AJ Hinch, but Rudy is an emotional tie to the city.
AJ hurt himself with that last game, though. He hurt himself.
Yeah, he did. But AJ's way up there.
Way up there.
Like I didn't Bum
Rudy,
Phillips. I was so young on Bum Phillips, and
I loved Dom Capers though. Loved Dom.
Yeah,
Capers.
I mean, you liked him because you worked with him as a person. He was great, but
yeah. He was the nicest person.
Yeah,
ever.
That's great. Doesn't do anything for me.
Well, right. Well, you asked
Gary Kubiak
who
were
my
fine.
Favorite, not your favorite. You asked
well,
me
who's
who are
your favorite,
mine.
But not to work with.
Well, yeah, that's what you asked
as
me.
as a watcher of sports.
Well, it's Rudy.
Porter.
Rudy first, AJ second, and now D'Amico.
Yeah. For my in my career and in my life, I mean, Bill Verdon was just. Bill Fitch.
Larry
was
Durker
cranky.
He was cranky with me.
Larry was cranky.
Yeah. I liked Larry, though. Larry was good.
There's nobody I love growing up watching
Gary
Rockets.
Kubiak was good, too.
He is fine. Yeah. He's just, he didn't talk. There's something about D'Amico that I think he is on the fast track becoming the best coach that the city's ever seen.
All right. Well, you can bet on it at mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. That's where you can bet on your Texans. Bet on your Texans futures at mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. If you're somebody that's looking to get into the game now, if you're looking for a great place to play, if you're looking for a great place to play, win, and get paid, you're looking for a great place to get your bet on and you don't have a place, well, and here's the deal, too. It's all up on the up and up. Okay, they're advertising on the radio. They must be able to do this. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. They'll give you a bonus for signing up. You can see the blackjack dealer when you're playing blackjack or roulette or whatever it is you're playing because they have live dealers. They have live guys who spin the roulette wheel. They have it all at MyBookie. They got all the prop bets that you could possibly want. They got great, I mean, in-game betting. It's so fun as the game swings each way, you get to bet on it. It's easy to navigate. It's a great, great site. You're looking for a great way to play, win, and get paid. MyBookie.ag. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. Put in promo code BET975. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. The number, if you want to get in here, come on, hang out with us here.
One of my theories has been confirmed. There's like a East River 9 pup who walks around. He's got free run of the place. He wound up in the clubhouse, and John talks to that dog exactly like he talks to our interns, the female interns.
Hi, how are you?
What's going on?
Talks the same way.
How you doing? What's going on? I do not talk
you
to the...
You talk to Abigail the same way you're talking to that dog.
Hey, how are you? Same thing.
Abigail, how are you?
John, Lance, you missed it. You know, East River 9 has... Wait till it gets back on the mic. East River 9 has like a dog that they let... He doesn't like. He's not dangerous, but they at least like the East
it's
River 9.
It's got blue eyes.
Yeah, I like that dog.
It could be the devil. It's got blue eyes.
I like that dog.
All right. East River 9 dog. The dog got in because someone opened the door.
Into here?
Yeah. And, he went up to John and just like, hi, how are you? Just like he talks to Abigail and
oh,
Sam.
There he is.
Yeah. What's going on?
No,
what
no,
are we doing
not,
today?
Now, there's too much bass in your voice. You put more bass. You were talking.
Oh, look at the bacon. That dog's getting bacon.
Bacon.
No wonder that dog's hanging
that
out.
That dog loves bacon.
Yeah.
That's bacon is good for me.
Mm-hmm. You are the sorry. She thinks we're the sorry
that dog
people.
Dog thinks he's a queen and we're the sorry people.
Well, he's got bacon and we don't. So
we don't.
Are the sorry
we
people.
Don't we have bacon.
Yeah.
He has bacon and we don't.
Yeah.
That dog's living the best life right now.
Blue eyes and bacon.
Blue eyes. All right. Astros back in action tonight. They take 2 out of 3.
Yeah, why not? I mean, unfortunately, all your dreams are going to come true to me and Dell's dismay. So, might as well.
Maybe in first place tonight, at the end of tonight.
Yeah, because they've got the tiebreaker right now.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, they're tied for first. That's first place.
No, I don't know if they have a tiebreaker.
Well,
we don't.
No, we don't. No, they've got to be in.
No, for being you're tied for first, you're in first place.
No, we're not counting.
I don't know if you heard.
We're not counting that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay.
They got to be in first place alone.
No. No, they're in first place. It's first place. That's,
but if
I'm
you
pretty
can't
sure.
Get
the season
into the playoffs,
ended today, with the, and if they
you,
won, would they be in the playoffs?
Yes, they've got
if
the
they're
tiebreaker.
Tied for first?
They got the tiebreaker.
What's the tiebreaker?
The tiebreaker is
head to head.
He doesn't know if they have the tiebreaker or not.
It's a whole.
All right, that's official. I'm cheering for him to lose today. I just wanted to take over in August. They can take over in August 1st because then you're wrong.
No.
Don't try to take partial credit.
I'm not taking any partial anything. They're going to be in first place tonight. Case closed. Good night, nurse. I'm surprised they weren't in first place before the All-Star break. Jeez. I had predicted that as well.
Jeez. So you're wrong.
Oh, you were wrong.
I was. Oh, they should have been.
Cheese and trees.
Not being able to score against the Rangers. What the bleep? Come on.
So the Rangers have – Rangers. The Mariners are 5-2 against the Astros this year, so they do not have the tiebreaker.
You don't know.
No, I'm looking at it right now. I do know, actually. I'm looking at
it. I don't know that it's head-to-head.
Then what's the tiebreaker in Major
Baseball?
It might
be division record.
It doesn't matter.
Division record.
It doesn't matter now. It may matter in the future.
It will.
So all these games – obviously – these are monster games. I mean, you know, you win 2 out of 3, you're in first place. You lose all 3, then you're all of a sudden 4 games back. I mean, it's a really big series. It's a big series because you've built up momentum. It kind of trailed off here before the deadline. All this additional time for Justin Verlander to get neck massages or whatever's going on there. Let's get Verlander back. Let's hurry up and do that. I don't think we talk enough. I always bring it up, but it's not really a long conversation on this show. You know, there's histories of young pitchers run into walls, and the Astros are relying on – Ronel Blanco's not a young pitcher in age, but he's never – but this guy barely has any Major League Baseball experience. Like, this is – he's already reached his record for most innings pitched. At some point – I know this is the Astros have to be – this has to be a consideration for the Astros. At some point with Blanco, Eric – because you're going to keep counting on Eric Geddy until maybe even, beyond when Justin Verlander gets back. At some point, and even if Luis Garcia gets back, he's still going to be limited from an inning standpoint. The guy hasn't pitched for a while, so there's still going to be a pitch count, you know, limitation on him. At some
point – we're not sure he's going to be any good.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean – I'm hoping too.
But there's not. That's not
because McCullers came back a couple. McCullers in 22 came back and was bad in the minors and was good with the Astros. He had a really good 7-game run before they went into the playoffs. But I'm a little worried about Hunter Brown's arm, about Eric Geddy's, about not their arm. It's just running into a wall a little bit because their inning counts are going to be way higher than anything they've thrown before, and that's the one thing I really have concern because they're just not deep enough. I mean. My gosh, you lost Javier. And Urquidy's just been hit or miss for several years now. You just don't know when you're going to have Urquidy. That's the one we don't talk about a whole lot. Urquidy's missed lots of time, too. I know McCullers has, but so has Urquidy.
Justin has.
Who?
Justin.
Yeah, well, Verlander this year has for
sure.
Well,
he missed 2 years.
Well, yeah, that's right. Well, it's because he had the COVID, so we got a late start in baseball, and then he waited a long time before he had the surgery, so 2 years. Yeah, Justin Verlander.
And now again.
Couple years.
And this is a neck instead of – it's not even an arm issue. It's a neck. And Kyle Tucker.
Well, I'd rather have a neck
injury. How hard did you foul that ball?
Hard. Did you see him?
I saw it.
I thought he was – you know what? Like I said before, I bet you there was a fracture in there that they didn't talk about.
Maybe.
There
must almost have to be.
There has to be.
Because this is – a foul ball off your leg is over a month. Over a month now, dude's been out.
Yeah.
And you gotta get, you know what? We got to have you back. Rub some dirt on it. Let's go.
I don't think that's going to help.
Well, yeah. No, everybody.
And,
that's what everybody
know,
says.
Caratini's been out about a month now, too.
I know.
He's starting his rehab assignment, but he's been out a while, too. So maybe, are the Astros fragile, John? Are they a fragile team?
Oh, no. You think it's Dr. Death, Brent Strong.
No, he's the butcher is what I call him. and that's for the arms. Now we're talking about the players who play every day, and they're banged up and don't come back. Are they? Maybe they're fragile.
Here it is. This is what a smart
like
person.
UT football players used to be.
Okay.
Matt Kawahara from the Houston Chronicle staff writer says pulling Luis Garcia from his rehab assignment didn't involve a setback for the right-hander in return from Tommy John surgery, per the team, which stated Garcia continues to throw. But the decision acknowledged a reality: if Garcia is going to help the Astros, he needs more time. How much more is unclear. So is a timeline for Justin Verlander, who remains sidelined due to a neck ailment. That uncertainty and the growing workload on several unseasoned starters underscores the Astros' need to reinforce their starting rotation ahead of the July 30th deadline. That's what I think is going to happen. There's just too many. Your margin for error is becoming very, very slim. So you're going to have to get another arm. You really do. Jake Bloss or whatever, that's great. But I mean, he pitched one time, got smacked, got hurt.
What are you trying to bring? Okay, you want a middle of the road starter. What do you want to give up for him?
Not much, you know.
I know you don't want to give up prospect. Much for him.
Some A-ball prospect. There's trades made all the time, John, where guys you never heard of, somebody we've never heard of, and a team says, "Good, you can take on his." You know, this guy's going to make. He's still got $1.8 million this year.
By the way, you know, the next move, you're losing a draft spot again.
Why?
Because you hit another level of the luxury tax.
For a guy who's $2 million this year, are you
who's
right up against
million
it?
What pitcher's $2 million? Who do you want for $2 million?
Not a good pitcher.
Why do you want him then?
Why do you want a crappy pitcher?
You got enough of those.
Guys, every trade doesn't have to be for Garrett Crochet. Y'all know that, right?
No, but
$2 million pitcher.
Well, it's $2 million left on his deal this year.
But you said not a good pitcher.
No, I'm not talking about – you guys want this
you want an
big
average
name.
Pitcher? No.
I want depth.
Don't say what I
want. I
want
reinforcements.
But I don't want a guy that's got a 6 ERA.
I want reinforcements. It doesn't have to be a guy with a 6 ERA. It could just be a guy with – I don't know what the ERA is.
We already got that.
But
we're
you
good.
Need – aren't no, you're not good because you have three young guys who are pushed up against – well, once again, Blanco, we're calling him young. He's 30 or 31. But you don't have anybody left.
So you want to acquire a pitcher to survive?
I want to
the
throw
season?
Another reinforcement. Yes, I want another reinforcement.
But you don't think they would be helpful
in the playoffs?
Is Montero
any good? I don't know. They might and they might not be. This is not. Don't read too much. Every trade doesn't have to be a blockbuster. I'm talking about they need to add another arm. And the guy needs to be able to make a spot start at number five. At the number five, he needs to be able to spot start for you. He needs to be better than Dubin.
But, by the way, it's going to take more than an A-ball player. Yeah, it is.
Not for teams who are out of it.
And a $6 million guy.
No, not for teams who are out of it. What do you mean it'll take more? I just want another arm. I'm not talking about a guy who's going to come in and revolutionize the position. I'm just talking about somebody who you can throw in because you've got guys like Montero that are non-factors, really. Sean Dubin is just kind of Sean Dubin. He's up and down. It's okay to have a guy, because what happens if all of a sudden, Hunter Brown's arm, you're cooked.
Or if Hunter Brown's arm is gone, you're not doing anything anyway, so why are you acquiring someone
for
nothing?
You have no margin for error right now. You have no depth. You have none. Right now you're dealing with a major issue in a 41, because you have no depth right now. You don't even have a real fifth
starter. That's
understood,
but if you, in your doomsday scenario, where another pitcher who you think can help you really gets hurt, the season's done for.
Yeah.
So I'm not acquiring a guy for that circumstance.
It's not going to cost you. I'm talking – these trades get done every year. A team who is looking to offset a little bit of payroll, if they don't have to pay – and this could be a pitcher who maybe is in the league 4 years and you're just going to – and you're still under club control. And they just say, he's okay. And the Astros say – I mean, how many pitchers have they pulled? The Astros have pulled in guys for years that they point out other guys on teams and say, he's got a spin rate we like, he's got something that we like. And that was when the Butcher was here, maybe. But you have guys.
Seen them get a starter at the trade deadline other than Justin Verlander.
I'm not talking about a starter. They haven't.
You're talking about a starter.
They've been loaded. I'm talking about a guy who's maybe a back end of the rotation who can also pitch middle relief. Yeah, I'm just talking about an arm. Like, don't get too deep in this. I'm just talking about they need to add reinforcements in another arm. It doesn't need to be a big-time player. But they have nothing right now. They're pitching we have no fifth starter. And what if somebody else says, well, Hunter Brown's got a
blast
on his
finger. Bloss is the fifth starter, and Verlander's the sixth starter.
Bloss is hurt, and Garcia's the seventh starter. That's why I said earlier in the show, it's gonna track directly with how Garcia's doing. Because if they think Garcia's on pace, maybe they don't do anything.
Well,
but they also might want another
bullpen.
Well,
you got another month to get Verlander and Garcia back. If that's the case, then you don't just pick up some guy.
You don't have another month. You've got till the end of the trade deadline to figure it out, though.
Yeah.
That's the cutoff for you.
Yeah.
So you got to make a decision earlier than what you're,
You got this whole month to do that.
No. Today's the 19th. You've got 11 days.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You've only got 11 days. So that's my point. This is coming up where you're going to have to make a decision. And I don't know what's going on with Verlander. This guy's been out a long time for a neck ailment. Like, what are we talking about? Neck ailment.
It's already the 19th of July.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah,
and where
it's
coming
up.
Where is this year gone? So it's so fast. These years are flying by, Dell. I don't know if you heard. Okay.
You ever heard that song where he goes, come to see you if I don't mind. And we'll just run if we can find
the time.
Yeah, Cats in the Cradle. And all of a sudden, the season's over and we never picked up a fifth starter.
Didn't Gilbert sing that with
I don't know about that.
Yeah. He sang it with Frank Caliendo.
What?
At Nick's place. You don't remember that?
Gilbert and Cats in the Cradle with Frank. I kind of do remember Frank. Is that the song?
Yes.
Well, we have lived this is La Vida Loca, My Crazy Life, Vida Loca.
Yes.
If Gilbert's singing with Frank Caliendo, Cats in the Cradle at Nick's place,
then
this is officially Mi
you've
Vida
had a,
Loca.
You've had a good life. Yeah. And if you need air conditioning, where do you go?
Well, I go to Vanderford Air, 281-557-COOL. I've already reached out to Vanderford Air, had them come over, wanted to get everything checked up onto my house. It was just too humid at my house. I was having to run the AC all the time at lower than I wanted to. And I was just like, man, and the AC on my Nest was showing 60. The humidity was showing 64%. It was actually dew point. It's not humidity. It's a dew point. It was 64%. Like, that's too humid for me running my AC as low as I'm having to run it. They came in. They did a heat load. So they came in and did their checkup and their tune-up. And they go to every room. They turn the AC way down. They go to every room. They check the vent temp. They check what the room cools to. You know, they go through the entire system left and right. They had to screw some brackets back onto something that was out in the unit outside. They went through and looked at the coil. There's so many. They cleaned out the emergency drain. They did all this stuff for me. And they gave me a complete look at the system. And what I decided to do was get a whole home dehumidifier. And so they ended up installing this whole home dehumidifier, which keeps my humidity under 60% now. And often it's at 58, 57%. And I'm able, and I can make it lower if I want, but I'm able to keep my AC at a little higher temperature because the humidity is lower in my home. That's just an example of what they do. But they fix problems, and they get you cool and keep you cool. 281-557-COOL or go to VanderfordAir.com.
How about we're watching the TVs here at East River 9? Irv is here. I'm watching Shane Lowry with the interview, right? And he's getting interviewed. He shot 7-under. He birdied 18, so he's 7-under. He's leading the tournament. Irv goes, oh, yeah, that guy, that's a good shot right there. There's nobody playing. You know who's playing? The women. And he's like, oh, that Scottish guy. He's got a skirt on. That was a woman.
That's an honest mistake.
Well, Scottish people wear skirts.
Not on the golf course.
Honest mistake.
Okay.
Who would know?
Okay. That was insulting. Those guys, he said. Oh, those guys can play.
Oh, because you've never said anything insulting to anyone before.
I've never, ever done that.
No.
Never. Ever. Irv, that's the women. That's the men right next to him. Okay.
I can't decide if she's guilty or innocent. I'm going to need her to turn around. What does she look like? I need to see a picture. I don't want to presume guilt until I see what she looks like.
I don't know.
That's you.
I did that? I don't remember that.
You always do that.
I never did
that. That's your move.
Well, if I was a judge, yeah. All the hotties would be off. Oh, that's all right. Go back on the street. Okay.
Maybe it wasn't a sex crime that she was involved in. Maybe she committed a robbery or murder. She didn't have to go back on the street.
Back on the street. Oh, what was your comments about the street the other day?
What? What did I say about
you
the street?
You probably said something terrible. I don't know what it was. But
yeah, Frank sang it as John Madden. He was Cats in the Cradle. And Gilbert was singing it.
Oh, now I remember when he he did the John Madden.
I said that woman who had two hoo-haws, to say.
You were like, once for the street and once for her husband.
What is she said?
That was the worst thing.
That's what she said.
That was the worst.
She said, is it cheating?
Speaking of wives and husbands.
Is it cheating if one is reserved for the streets?
Speaking of wives and husbands, I remember doing this in like one of our old News of the Weirds years ago. We used to call it News of the Weird. Well, it was the same. News of the Weird, yeah. And then we call it the same. This may have been at 610. Do you remember hearing the story that in another country, if you want to get divorced, all the wife had to say is, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. You had to say it three times like Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
You know, yet this story came out. The daughter of Dubai's ruler has apparently announced her divorce on social media. I saw her Instagram post in a rare move for a princess in the United Arab Emirates. The Instagram account of Sheikha Mara bint Mohammed Ben Rashid Al Maktoum, the daughter of UAE Prime Minister and Dubai ruler Mohammed Ben Rashid Al Maktoum, announced her intention to leave her husband. Here's what she said in her post. I hereby declare our divorce. I divorce you. Take care, your ex-wife.
Wow.
She publicly divorced him by
three times.
Dropping it three times.
Yeah. Did she click her heels?
No. I don't know on that one if she did that, but you can see the post right here.
Oh,
dear husband, as you are occupied with other companions, I hereby declare our divorce. I divorce you.
Yeah.
Take care, your ex-wife.
Well, let's see how bad it's going to be for him. What does she look like?
She looks, you know.
Oh yeah, no.
Kind of like Kim Kardashian in the face.
Yeah, she does a little bit.
Comes from money, obviously.
Yeah. But she. But
how does she look like? What does she look like?
But.
I know. Irv just can't believe the shows you do.
Anyway, she don't have that Kim Kardashian. All the Kim Kardashian, does she?
What does that mean?
You don't know.
What you always say. Okay?
What do I always say?
She going to breakfast?
What?
He's making a pancake butt joke. Here, I'll help you.
I'm aware.
I'll speed this up.
I'm aware.
I'll speed this up. She going to breakfast? Well, what that means,
is she on the table at breakfast?
No.
Butter, a little syrup?
Stop.
Is it a peach? Or a pancake?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry about her peaches. Genetics. Well, first of all, I don't even know. But
a peach can be at breakfast, too.
Yeah. No, peach is more lunch, probably. Okay.
The princess appeared to be invoking the controversial practice of triple divorce that is used in some Muslim countries, where a man instantly divorces his wife by declaring it three times. The method is banned in some countries. It isn't customarily invoked by women against their husbands. She married somebody. She was also a member of the Dubai ruling family last year in a glamour ceremony that was featured in a magazine such as Harper's Bazaar, blah, blah, blah. Man, I divorce you. You could really get mad. Like, some people are very impulsive, and they say things in the heat of, right? You probably said something in an argument in the heat of, like, it's probably easier to say, I divorce you, and then all of a sudden you got to get remarried because it's...
Because we're divorced.
It's divorced. I got pissed off. I shouldn't have got so mad, and I should have just counted to 10.
I'm surprised in that country that they let her write, okay?
Well, this is already...
Well, she is a princess, so maybe they afford her.
That's not out of line.
Some leeway.
That's not out of line.
Well, I don't know. I've never been to United Arab Emirates, but they did say it's not exactly normal for women to do this.
Right. All right, 713-780-3776, the number to hang out with us here. I want to talk right now about GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's my man, John Clay Wolf. That's the guy that's going to buy your car. That's the guy that's going to buy your car for more. It's something that you have to do. You have to go to GiveMeTheVIN.com if you're going to sell your car, because you're going to know how much your car is worth at GiveMeTheVIN.com. You don't know when you walk into wherever you're going to try to sell it. CarMax, you don't know that they're going to give you the most for it. No. You know how you know? Because you're armed with the offer from John Clay Wolf already. Then you go in there and you say, oh, no, CarMax, I'm sorry. Or you go, wow, John Clay Wolf, look at the offer I got from CarMax. And John Clay Wolf says, well, either I will match that or beat it. I will actually beat it, or I will give you $100, because that's what he says. If I can't beat CarMax's offer, I'll give you $100. It's happened a couple of times. My buddy, Michael, he got $100 from John Clay Wolf because they couldn't match his car. So, you know what? That's a little extra $100 in your pocket. But not if you don't go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. You got to go to GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.